Blog Talk.
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great tonight. I'm starting to get over this virus a little bit, but the fact is I'm still coughing, so if I hack up a lung in your ears, kids, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. Mother Nature says cough, I'm going to cough. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Having a busy week, but enjoying it, so.
Yeah. Well, what's in your future? What's on the table for you in the next few weeks? Any plans?
Let's see. I've got an investigation coming up with Crossroads Paranormal Radio. They're having their investigation at Loveland Castle this year. I was invited to that along with Christy Hinkle and some others. So it should be a fun time. I got an email from them today. They said that there's no facilities. There is actually like porta-johns outside.
Oh, fun. Do they like bring you toilet paper? Do you have to use the concords? You know, is this totally.
I'm bringing my own now that I think about it.
Okay, that's just wrong. I understand it. Let's see, what have we got coming up? Oh, there's so much on for September, I can't even remember. We do have some private investigations that we have in the works and just trying to get everything fit into the schedule. We are doing a series at the Old Farrar School beginning next month with... I hate to say ghost hunting 101, but just an introduction, you know, for the people out there that just want to have an idea of what ghost hunting is about and paranormal research and stuff. So they're going to come in. We try to help the school as much as we can with their restoration project and raising funds. So that's always a lot of fun. Mid-South, oh my God, I so totally cannot wait for Mid-South.
No,
it's like going to be my vacation. I am ready for it. 5 weeks in advance, I'm ready to pull the suitcase out and just go on and pack. It's just like, go now, do something. I am bored to tears. It's just that time of year. We're right between harvest and winter, and it gets kind of boring around here. So let me get on my high horse. You know, I always got to get on the bandwagon at least once in the show, and I want to talk to you about this. And we discussed it a little bit in private. The paradrama that's going on right now.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, you know what? Honest to goodness, people. If nothing more, common civility and respect as a human being. You're airing dirty laundry out in public, and guess what, people? I'm bored with it. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have had it up to my eyebrows with it. It's just like take it into private chat, take it into emails, but for pity's sake, stop putting this stuff out there. We need to get serious, and we need to have show at least some semblance of respect for each other. Don't you think, Steve? I mean,
I absolutely agree on that. That's I just can't believe the stuff that's going on with that, and I always keep saying. If you just leave it alone, ignore it, let it go, you know, it's not really going to hurt you to let it go. Just leave it alone.
Well, and I asked some of these people that are involved in some of these melodramas, What difference does it make? 5 years from now in your life, is this going to have such an impact that it's going to change it? And in 5 years, you're still going to be suffering from it. You know, yeah, a couple of the answers have come back yes, and then I think to myself, seriously, you need to get a life outside of the paranormal community because you have issues, you know?
Right.
And there is more, and I guess I get frustrated with the whole thing because some of these people, and I do see it, their whole life evolves around who accepts them in this community, who can help them advance, who can, and I'm thinking, no, you know, if you're going to do something, if you want to be out there, how about volunteering some time for Habitat for Humanity, or go to the hospital or the library, get some time and become involved in a community that really makes a difference. Because if you're in this for the fame and you're caught up in this melodrama, you're in it for the wrong reason. Move aside and let those who are serious about what they're doing, let those that are serious about being out there to help people, let them exist in the community without your drama.
I absolutely agree with you on that. Absolutely.
That's my rant for the week. And, you know, women get bitchy. I get bitchy. I have no one here to, like, vent to when this stuff comes up. And poor Beth, she's just like, yo, Mom, I got to go. Bye. And she hangs up the phone. And I'm still talking, like, 5 minutes later. Where'd you go? Hello? Hello? You know? So, Sean and Eric, if you want to go on and call in early, that would be great because I'm running out of things to talk about. What about you, Steve? Do you have, like, a pet peeve going on that you'd like to talk about?
No. I try to just, like I said, let things go. If it bugs me that much, it's probably just something that I really don't need to deal with. But, yeah, a lot of times.
Excuse me. So while we're waiting for them to call in, there is a chance that Ruth Delgado will be able to call in the last half of the show to talk about Angel Man Foundation. I'm not sure. She's a new mother. Baby's just a few weeks old, and she hasn't been feeling real well. So it's still up in the air if she will be able to join us. Our thoughts are with Patrick as he's flying over someone's head right now. His flight did get delayed this afternoon on his layover. I think I got the story right. So he is not able to join us tonight. Instead, Eric and Sean from Beth's Paranormal are going to join us. I'm not sure if Christy and Beth or Andrea or anyone else is going to jump in. They've all been invited. We're going to do a little bit of a round table with each other discussing the paranormal. Okay, seriously, that hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got him on the line now.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
This is Sean.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Doing all right, Jackie. I got a bit of a ringing headache now. That was pretty loud.
Okay, well, at least you have an eardrum. I miss that. Thanks so much for coming on such short notice. Is Eric with us yet?
I'm not sure.
Not yet. He's not.
Eric, dude, you're late to the party. Get on the ball. Sean, what's going on with you, darling? What have you been up to?
Same old, same old. I might have to call back on the other phone so that you can hear me. This one I keep cutting in and out on.
Okay.
I don't know if you can.
You sound great to us.
Okay, well, then I'll just go ahead and listen. Everything's, you know, same old, same old. We did our little investigation last night, which I haven't got any results from yet, but we will find out. I'm sure I can talk to you about that afterwards. I don't want to really go into it on the air.
Right, right. Not a problem there. Well, darn it, I wish Eric would.
We've got Eric with us.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Did.
Sorry. Surprise.
Big time, big time.
Hi, Small Fry. How are you?
Peachy.
How are you, Jackie?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I was hoping you would, like, talk to your cohort there and let me grab a drink of water, but you messed that up for me. But
I have a knack for that.
Seriously, guys, I appreciate you coming on tonight and on such short notice. But you have a show. You know these things happen, and we race around to find. So this is the thing. Totally unprepared for you guys. I mean, I have this list of questions for Patrick that pertain to Patrick, and I...
Well, we can try, but I don't know if it'll be the same answers.
I did not really go out of my way to come up with specific questions for you guys. But Eric and I kind of talked a little bit this afternoon, and Stephen, we kind of came up with this idea that we'd like to do a round table, that it's a free-for-all. You can say anything you want tonight. You can go on the bandwagon. You can be sweet and sappy. I don't care. The floor is open, and we'll go from there. I was just talking about the paradrama that's going on.
Oh,
you all
yeah.
heard my little rant about that. And I think we'll just start with Sean, if you wouldn't mind throwing in your feelings on that, and then Eric, if you would, on that. And Andrea, if you are listening, or Christy, you both can call in now.
Yeah, I don't know if you read my recent blog on the drama. I just say this nicest way I can, I've had it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of listening to everybody bash each other. They just need to get over themselves and grow a life. We're absolutely just doing the exact opposite of what we need to do, which we're trying to help people. We can't help people if we're going to be continuously bashing on each other. All it's doing is making us look foolish. And, you know, if it were me, I wouldn't want to go and ask somebody to come into my home and help me if they can't even get along with their peers.
Right.
We don't need everybody to unify. The paranormal unity thing is not you know, the words I prefer. But like I said, we don't need everybody to unify. We just need everybody to give each other the mutual respect and stop BSing around. And you know, everybody's going to do things differently. You just gotta figure that out. You gotta understand that there are going to be teams out there that are you know, in this to, you know, just to get what they can out of it and hurry up and get the quick buck. But, you know, those of us that are doing this for free and actually paying more out of our pockets than we're actually earning sometimes, you know, those other people are making us look like fools. So I'm just kind of fed up with the whole flaming and bashing thing. And I've chosen to not really ignore it, but to move on from it. And I posted my one blog, and that was done.
Eric?
Yeah, I really have to agree with Sean on that. I mean, I'm just tired of it as well. To be honest, it's just immature. It's not helping further the field. There's no point to it. I mean, granted, people are going to have problems with each other. That's going to happen no matter where you are. But keep it between those two people. Don't bring other people into it. Don't make it a big, huge deal, because it's pointless. It's stupid, to be honest. And I mean, we're all here for the same reasons. We're all here to look for the evidence, to help people out. But when people are out there and they don't like the way somebody else does something, they bash them, and they do it publicly, and there's no point. So, I mean, Sean pretty much summed it up. I agree with him wholeheartedly about that, and it just needs to end. I know it probably won't ever, but it just needs to.
Well, it's like childish playground. It's like being on the playground in elementary school. I mean, it's not even dignified enough to be middle school, which I put in the post that I was calling it middle school behavior. But it's not even that. It's more like, you know, playground noise where you got to tease somebody for having a missing tooth or whatever. It's getting ridiculous. The whole thing is getting ridiculous. And I mean, now they're going off and bagging on people for the smallest, minuscule little things. I mean, who cares? You do it differently than them. Just move on.
Yeah.
Move on. And you brought up a valid point too, Sean. Where this community is going in the future? Where do we need to go? What direction do we need to take that makes us legitimate? That has the rest of the world sitting up going, oh, their evidence and their research, this is answering a lot of questions for me. What are your feelings on that?
Where we need to go?
Yeah.
Up. In all simpler terms, up. I mean, we need to advance, and we can't advance unless we work hard together to do it. I mean, it's like I don't know if you know who David Scott is. He's a religious demonologist. He was in my home last night, and David has a completely different way of doing things, and he kept telling me, you know, you can jump in here and you can help with this if you want to. And I told him that I just wanted to sit back and watch him and just kind of, soak it in. It's a continuous learning process. We're going to continuously learn, and there will never be a best in this field, never.
No.
It's just like anything else. You can continuously learn, and if you think that you can't continuously learn, if you think that you've gotten to the top and you're done learning, then you should be done with the field.
I agree
That's
with
true.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah, there are no professionals or, no experts. It's just more experienced. You're never done learning in this field.
That's your question,
what?
Jackie. I definitely think we need to go up. I mean, we need to do everything we can to make it so that we can progress further in the field. And it's hard enough to prove that we're doing this for scientific reasons and for helping people. It's an unproven science. It's an unproven field. And, eventually it will be proven. Everything at one point in time wasn't. I mean, look at the light bulb. The light bulb wasn't proven until, lo and behold, we had light out of a bulb. So
I like that analogy. And I do agree with both of you. There is no central focus. There is so much competition in the field right now. And I have to chalk it up to the fact that so many people come into this field expecting to become famous. You know, they want that moment like Taps and Ghost Hunters on
yeah.
TV. And so their foundation for their team is built with that one goal in mind. And they will do whatever they need to do to move toward that goal. Well, then you have the research from all these groups out there that are just, it's sitting on the back shelf somewhere. We go out, we do the investigation, we give the client the results, we give them our impressions, tell them what we feel they need to do to work through whatever situation is presenting in the home. And then our research goes plop, There are so many projects out there right now that are screaming for field studies. The only problem that we're running into is that when we bring these teams in to do the field studies, no one wants to follow the protocol to submit the evidence. It's like, well,
right.
You have to follow the protocol. You can't totally do it your way. Because the guidelines have been laid out so that whatever evidence you get will fit into the research that they're doing. And it usually on these projects will require maybe 2 or 3 hours of your time in that home doing absolutely nothing but monitoring and taking readings, not provoking, not asking questions, experiencing it as the client experiences it. And because it's boring, because they're not up and being active, these teams don't want to do it that way. Well, we can get more evidence if we provoke, or we can get more evidence if we ask questions. Seriously, people, this is not what these clients are experiencing. Why are you doing this?
And there's a lot more to it than just investigations too. I mean, you've got to think also. You've got reading papers, writing papers, talking to people, going lectures, all that stuff that all these people do. And that, like Stephen LaChance, yourself, Thomas Hickory, the Mid-South, WISP, all that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we need to do. We need to get together, and we actually need to do more than just the investigation, because like you said, once we get done with the investigation, we're done. We go home. Those people are still there with whatever was there. Yeah, maybe they have an explanation of what that is now, but still, I mean, they're still there. And for all we know, the entity's still there. Yeah, you have a haunted house. Good for you. But we've got to go further than that. Well, we really do. We've got to go a lot further than that than just saying, yeah, you've got a haunted house. Now we've got to figure out how to help them live with it or help them figure out what they need to do next. Like I said, there's a lot more to it than just that. I mean, read a book. There's lots of books out there to read. There's a lot of bunk books too, but if you go out and you look for them, there's a lot of really good books out there. You just got to take the good with the bad and figure it out.
That's true. And like you said, Jackie, that people are not willing to follow the protocols as well, to be able to sit there and just monitor and take readings, things like that. And people that do go out there, and I've heard them say, well, we get more activity if this happens, if we do this. You don't know that for sure. Every case is different. You can't be so confident to go, you know what, if I do this, I know they're going to do something, because you don't. And it just amazes me that people, you know, think that they can expect what's really unexpected to begin with.
Well, and I have to question, when people go into investigations and they start provoking and talking to them, is it the spirit or whatever is in the house, is that what they're communicating with? Is it something that they've pulled forward that possibly wasn't there before and now it's there, it came with them? Who knows? You know, we've got no way to validate what we're getting anyway. I mean, we can get the evidence, but to prove without question that we're communicating with spirit is still subjective in itself. And then you throw in these other factors with bringing the conjuring and the open questions in. Is it there before we do this? Did we bring it in? Are we leaving it there? Yeah, I think there are so many teams out there that are not addressing this.
I agree. And like I said, I mean, I've said it a million times, we're never really going to truly understand the paranormal until we join them. And eventually, you know, eventually we're going to look back and we're going to say, well, that didn't work. Why didn't we do it this way? But it's just like school. You learn, you live, and you figure out a better way to do it. But then you've got the people out there that simply don't care. They're not in it for that. They're, like I said, and like you had said before, they're in it for the fame or the quick buck or whatever. My message to those people is, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get famous. You're not going to make $1 million on this. We do know a few people that work with TAPS and work with GHI, and they'll tell you the same thing. They don't make enough money to live off of doing that job.
Yeah. And any team that is based, like they're starting up because they want to become famous, they're pretty much dooming themselves to fail. It doesn't. I mean, if you look at all the groups that are out there, how many of them have a show?
That's what the young people that come and say, well, how can I promote myself? And I'm like, I don't know, honey, but when you figure it out, let me know so that I can, like, promote my team. Because you're no different than me unless you have some unique character or something to offer that the 20,000 other teams out there don't have to offer. You're in the same boat with the rest of us. Not that I want my team to be. You know, I use that as an example. But, it gets boring, and it's much like the paradrama. It's like, find some frigging focus, get your ducks in a row, and let's take this this foundation that we've laid and take it into the next millennium.
You know, it's those people that are out there for the fame that are actually going to be doing more harm than good. They're going to hurt themselves. They're going to hurt somebody else. They're going to make the situation in general worse.
Those are the people that would go in and start provoking when it could be a demonic. And that's,
and you know,
bad.
Later on, that'll be the case that we end up getting, Keith or Fish Long or David Scott out to their house to go help fix it because they brought it on themselves, but they didn't know they were doing it. They're just making things worse. And I just wish they would stop.
Yeah.
We all agree that education of the public and the paranormal community is probably the number one key to moving us forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially with clients as well, one thing I've always believed is the more you know about something, the less you're going to fear. Because obviously the most common thing is you fear the unknown. So if you learn more about the subject, learn more about what can happen, it gives you more of an empowered mindset to go, okay, well, I know what I can do in case something happens. I know how to get through it.
You know, and that goes back to the continuously learning and also the mutual respect. Because, I mean, look at you, Jackie. You're teaching me how to do the searching for the guide and all that. Remember that?
Yes.
Without you there, if I hadn't actually respected you enough to call you and find out what your opinion was and how to do this, then I would be lost. I mean, completely lost. I'm still fairly lost, but completely lost. That's what I'm saying. It just goes to show that the continuous networking, instead of bringing everybody down, we need to continuously network and learn. I mean, you don't have to agree with everybody and everything that everybody says. There's more to learn out there. I've got a lot to learn. I've been doing this for almost 8 years now, a little over 8 years now, and I still have a ton to learn. And there's people out there that have been doing it for 25 and 30 years, and they still have a ton to learn. The Warrens, I mean, they did it for how long? Lorraine Warren's still going, and she still has more to learn. It doesn't end.
One of the things I have noticed about this community, or at least the people I'm involved with, I do not close my door to anyone. You know, if you need to talk to me, I'm usually accessible. The past month has been kind of rough between dealing with the flood cleanup and then I got sick. I injured my shoulder and stuff. It was kind of rough getting back with people, and I'm going to go here. I actually got an email from someone that I had spent several hours on the phone with on different occasions. That wanted a reading, and I gave her everything that I could get. She actually emailed me and just ripped me because I have not called her for a personal reading that I told her I would do to her. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, honey, you know, every time that you've called me, I've spent no less than 45 minutes on the phone with you. Did you not get that's what was happening? We talked about everything that you were asking me. I gave you this. I was offended by that email, only in that she assumed that because I had the open door invitation out there for everyone, that she could use it at any given point in time as a friend without reciprocating in kind, calling and saying, hey, how are you today? You guys are much the same way. You've got that open door invitation to people to be your friends and to network with. Have you run into any? I'm asking because this one really bothered me because you guys know me as well as anyone else. If it's in the middle of the night, I'm on the phone. I'll answer it. I will help you with anything that you have going on. I was so shocked. I'm curious if you've ever experienced anything like that in this community.
Only internally.
Yeah. So far, yeah.
We won't go into that on the air for sure. But that,
okay.
See, we keep our dirty laundry in the laundry room. That's it. But we've only had one that I can think of. It was a woman, and you know what? It may have very well been my fault. But we had a woman that had given us when we were at Onatickery last year. She had given us a tape to listen to. She just came up to us and decided that she was going to hand us this tape recorder and this tape and tell us to take it home and listen to it. She wanted to know what it was.
Yeah.
Well, after a couple weeks, I mean, it took me a while to get to it. I was busy. But after I finally got to it, I listened to it and come to find out that this tape actually was man-made. I mean, it's a answering machine tape, and it had been slowed down, and you could hear the birds chirping in the background. And once I sped it up enough that you could hear it, it actually said, okay, who took the phone off the hook?
You can hear the phone beeping.
she disagreed with what I had to say. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, let me say something real fast. The
sure.
moaning you hear in the background is not me in pain, and it's not paranormal. I have a dog that wants something and will not tell me what it wants, so it's just whining. Now continue with your...
The lady, she said, that's funny. disagreed with my findings on it, which was fine. I mean, everybody can disagree. I had more than just me listening. But I had actually returned the tape, sent it in the mail and everything, and for whatever reason, it got lost in the mail. Okay, it's I'm not sure it's the way I got lost in the mail. I can't guarantee that things are going to go back the way they should have gone. But we did ask her if she wanted insurance on it, and she said no. So we sent it on. When it got lost in the mail, I've received almost a year now, Eric. I've been receiving nice little tidbits saying, when are you sending me my tape? And I keep reminding this lady that I keep telling her I already sent it. I'm not sure why it's not there. I'll check into it. And I look into it, and they say, well, we don't know where it is. So that's the only thing that I've really gotten. That's the only time we've ever had any evidence go missing. So,
yeah.
But she's an interesting woman. I don't know really what to say about her without being mean, and I'm not about to be mean. So,
so it's lost in the great abyss of lost mail bin somewhere between you and her. And okay, seriously, I have to ask this. I do, because I was talking to a friend of mine just the other day at a time when he received an email from a woman that was not clothed, you know, and we find that comes with fame. Are you guys, like, collecting pictures of women who have become your fans?
Oh, absolutely. They're in my lockbox outside. I bury it in the backyard so Dottie can't find it. No. I think if anybody sent me a photo of themselves without any clothes on, I would have to probably show it to her and say, can you believe this? And then it would go out. It would go in the garbage. But no, I've fortunately not had anybody send me promiscuous photos yet. So.
I got one. I'm 53 years old, an old farm lady in Iowa, and I, honest to God, I got one. I was sitting at Best because my computer was down. Oh, no, this was during the flood. And I was like, come here. And I called him into the office. My son-in-law is like, do I accept this one or not? And then I called Beth, and it's like, come here, look at this. I'm seriously thinking to myself, honey, why are you sending an old lady in Iowa provocative poses of yourself? That's frightening. It's scary. Well, it was. I'm sorry. I just had to ask because I thought it so funny the other day. So, Eric, did you get any?
No, I can't say I have.
I figure when I do get my first one, I'll know, one, woo, I'm famous, and two, Dottie is soon going to be entering the prison population. So.
You know, I was going to say, I've been told that I was famous several times, but no one's ever sent me any of those, and I'm single.
You'd ask for them.
Sorry, Steve, you can make like a contest out of it or something.
You know, I'm gonna have to make a blog now that says famous people get nude pictures.
Hey, look, if my host can get nude pictures, my God, there's something wrong with this story. I want one. I'll put it out there. I think all three should put it out there. Put the same blog out, like we're collecting nude photos of fans. And see how they actually send it to you. No, don't do that. Oh, my God, don't do that.
Quit writing,
Sean. These crazy people, my address. That's not happening.
No. Nope.
Maybe I'll open a P.O. box and we'll open it in NASA's name and then go from there and paranormal says, right? Picture box.
No, I'm sorry. You know, that was probably totally inappropriate. That was just so frigging funny. Listening to him going, oh my God, this is wrong. And I'm like, what's wrong? Oh, it's wrong.
One of those, was it one of those, this is so wrong, but I can't look away kind of things?
It's like a train wreck.
It's been a big, big time.
Steve, jump in for a second, honey.
Okay.
You got to take it for a moment.
Okay, no problem. I know what I can talk to you about here. Data collection. I've noticed that a lot of people on their websites like to put out photographs. They like to put out video. But they never seem to put out any corresponding data, EMF readings, you know, barometer readings, anything. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's a lot of work. we do have, if you go through and you look at ours, you'll see that ours are split up into separate pages, though, but they all refer to one another. When you click on one, like if you click on an image, it'll have a link at the bottom of the page that takes it to the description or the investigation, or, you know, which has more readings about the temperatures, the what people were in the room, what was going on in the room, what was happening, things like that.
Right.
Like I said, I think it's a lot of work, and I think there's a lot of people out there that aren't willing to put that extra bit of work in. Eric has recently taken over our website, so it's completely being revamped right now, and you can see that there is a lot going on in there. But as for regular group, not regular groups, we're a regular group. I didn't mean it that way. Other groups and other people that are seeing this information and putting on. I mean, how long did it take us to figure out how to embed an image or how to embed a video? It took us a while. Computer whizzes or anything like that. I can take one apart and put it back together real well, but I don't know how to program. I think that the people that can't do it should find help on how to do it. I think the people that just refuse to actually put that extra bit of work in shouldn't put anything up at all. I mean, I can create an image on my Photoshop as easy as anybody else.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that, guys. Hey, everyone, the call-in number is 347-677-1432. Feel free to pick up the phone. Join us in this roundtable discussion because we have no idea where to take it next. How about...
Jack, you could take a break.
Eric questions.
What did you say, Steve?
You want to take a break? I have some music you could take a break to for a few minutes.
Why don't you take a break, sweetheart? I would appreciate that.
We'll be back.
Do that, and I'll grab some water.
All right.
Welcome back, everyone. I just put out the third person that calls in will get an 8-inch magnet for their car or their truck.
You've got that person on the line, I think, here.
Oh.
You do.
1-8, you're on.
Hi, it's Andy.
Oh, no, she Andy. Doesn't count.
I can't have the magnet anyway.
Your family, you don't count. Hi, baby girl, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, y'all, we finally get an opportunity to introduce you to Andrea. On those days when, and there will be a couple, when I'm not able to make it to the show, Andrea will be co-hosting with Steve and covering my butt. So she's just started a new position at work, and it's been difficult for her to join us since the beginning of the show, and things have kind of leveled out for her. And Eric, Sean, this is my daughter, Andrea, Eric, and Sean.
Hi, Andy.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Doing wonderful. Hope you are, too.
Oh, very much so.
I'd
thank you very much.
I'd let Eric answer first because he always does.
Should we go back and listen to archives?
Yeah.
You know, that's the hard thing about this venue. It's so easy to talk over each other. And like I'm an old lady and I talk a lot, Andrea is even worse than I am, and she's not old.
Oh, it's horrible, guys. I'm so sorry.
I think the best, she's a dork, though. So
I am. But, you know, it runs in the family. I mean, I'm sure y'all have heard Beth. And you've obviously heard Mom. So it definitely runs in the family.
You got to feel that sibling rivalry there. It's fun stuff.
We play nice, don't we, Mom?
I think that's enough of an answer.
So I do have to say, if you get the three of us around each other, it's a trip. Anybody at WISC could attest to that, huh?
Yeah, I'm the same way with my brothers. When you get both of us in the same, all three of us in the same room, everybody might as well just leave because it's us. We are complete wackos. Yeah, but I mean, Eric knows me, and anybody that really knows me will tell you that I'm a bit off. I am, but I'm the mild one in the family.
Yeah, I've met his brothers. He's telling the absolute truth.
We're having Andy. We're just having kind of a round table discussion. Do you have anything you want to go on the bandwagon about or share with us or discuss?
I always have questions, especially during investigations, that, one, you have people who normally bring in energy themselves that, to me, almost kind of manifest energies and things to happen on that energy. But then you also have those who are just, I mean, I don't want to say it's energy that they're bringing, a vibe that they're bringing in that's just so, they're looking so hard for something to be there. It almost makes something like a wildfire in an investigation.
I have to agree with you.
We've
decided, we call it a little different. We call it the magnet and the black hole. You've got me, who I'm a magnet, where I can go somewhere and things happen, or there's stuff happening, or whatever. You bring Dottie in, who she is our black hole. You bring her and put her in the same room, and everything stops. So when we put the Dottie in a room and something starts happening, that's the room we all got to go to.
Can you make her go to the other room?
Yeah, and I have to agree with you. There's different levels of energy coming from people. That I think that. Yeah, I think a lot of the whole spiritual attachment and everything comes that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and part of what I've noticed, and this is a bit egotistical, if I'm in a room or one of the other sensitives is in a particular room, it seems to increase the amount of energy in that room, and we all talk about the vibrational fields that we exist in, high, low, in between. You know, I think that plays a big part in the environments when we go in. If there is a natural high EMF field and we operate on a higher or lower frequency, we're going to contribute to that EMF field. And then we come back to the theory that spirit needs high EMF to manifest and interact with us. So I do see where you're going with this, Andrea. Hey, Steve, would you unmute Beth? She's on hold. She's the final.
I'm unmuted. I'm just sitting here.
Oh, hi, Beth.
I was just going to say, you know, any room with me in it is high energy.
Mute me, Steve. Mute me.
Just one second, folks. I'll be right back.
And I'm sorry, Andrea, but we do not play nice. We have never played nice. I do remember stabbing you with a fork because you wouldn't get off the phone.
Wow.
She did too. Seriously. She stabbed her with, it was a plastic fork, but she did stab her sister.
And it hurt.
I warned her. I told her if she didn't get off the phone, I was going to stab her with a fork. She
oh, that makes
me,
it okay.
She told me I wouldn't do it, and I stabbed her with a fork.
Wow.
I don't doubt her. I don't doubt her. To this day, from then on, I have not doubted her.
Now, see,
I don't blame you.
Giving these people the impression that I was not a good mother.
Oh, ha, whatever.
Talk about the love and the huggle stuff, but let's not put out that you were violent little creature.
Oh, I was very violent. Hey, I was very violent. I was a teenager, and I was mad.
She was an angry teen.
I was a very angry teen.
You know what? Beth, you just brought up a very good point.
Yes.
Sean, homes with children going through puberty, how do you like going into those?
You know, it really depends on the investigation. A lot of times, you're talking about poltergeist type things, right?
Right.
Okay. We haven't actually done one that I would actually call about poltergeist. We've had that has involved children, but nothing that I would actually outright call a poltergeist. My thought on doing investigations that involve children is I don't care what it is. I mean, it could be demonic, malevolent, poltergeist, absolutely nothing, you know, medication necessary, anything. If it's got to do with kids,
we're rolling here.
If it's got to do with kids, I'm there.
And yeah.
I try real hard not to make myself vulnerable when it comes to, getting that extra attachment or putting myself in harm's way. But whatever it takes, if it's got to do with a kid, I'm there. If I'm doing an investigation, somebody calls me and needs me on one with a kid, I'm there. I'll get somebody to replace me. I'll reschedule. I'll do whatever I have to do. If it involves children, I'm there.
I agree to that.
Wow.
Definitely. And whenever children are involved, it's definitely high priority.
Have you both noticed the increase of activity with children, the awareness now? I've noticed it. I don't think it's any higher than it was what it used to be, but I think people accept more that children are seeing these things. They're not chalking it up to imagination, and they're not closing the door where this child has to internalize this. They're allowed to speak openly about it. Are we feeding the power of suggestion to our children by letting them watch shows like Taps and Ghost Hunters? Are they actually interacting with spirit? What's your take?
I think both. I think we as a community, not we as a paranormal field, but we as a community, our television, our radios, our books, a lot of things, we're feeding the knowledge to them to at least, to one, either play it off, or two, to figure out how to invite it into their lives. I think that, yeah, we are helping feed them with it. But at the same time, I think that there's more awareness now. So things like when I was a kid, I had actually seen a soldier in my mother's rocking chair that saluted my older brother and I. He passed out, and I started crying. I told my mom about it, and my brother denied it, and so I ended up looking like a fool. You know, I think now with all the actual awareness there is out there with the entities and the fact that there is paranormal activity, other people are actually starting to accept the fact that it's not a bogus claim all the time. I think now it's being accepted more. People are sitting down to listen to their kids now instead of just telling them, go to bed and, you know, you had a bad dream, close your eyes again.
Then there's also those cases, and I've actually heard about a case of this happening, and it's pretty sad, where the parents will actually, like Jackie, like you said, the power of suggestion, they will actually talk to their kids about it and make them scared, make them think that, oh, there's something right there, it's going to get me, even if there's nothing there. And it's
just
really
recently
those people,
got an email about that.
Do what?
Well, I said, we just recently got an email about that. In fact, I think
did
it was
really?
Yesterday. Where a girl was calling or was sending an email trying to figure out what was going on in her life, come to find out that her mom and dad had actually been playing tricks on her. I had to email her mom and dad to find out what was going on, and they told us they were just playing tricks on her, trying to desensitize her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, that's wrong. I'm sorry, but there are other ways to go about desensitizing your children.
They didn't say desensitize me, but that's what I brought it out to.
Yeah. Technology, guys. I'm real excited about a lot of the new technology that's out there, and I'm curious what you're finding on your end.
Technology? Well, there's a ton of it I need to own.
Yeah.
I don't have yet. I mean, I've just recently been subjected to the Faraday box. I've never seen one before, actually, in person, never used one, but I did see one in working last night, and it's fascinating, the stuff that's out there that we haven't used. I like the paranormal puck. I don't know if you guys have actually seen them use that.
Yep.
Yeah. I have one right here. Yeah.
Yeah, that is an interesting toy.
Patrick let us play with it at WIS.
Yes, and I've got a new toy that you're all going to want to play with, too.
Ooh, do tell.
Lab Pro.
What is it?
Vernier Lab Pro. Actually, Patrick Burns uses it on haunting evidence. It's an interface that allows you to connect an EMF detector, barometers, temperature sensors, radiation monitors, all that to your computer, and then actually collect that data so that you can publish it later if you need to.
Right. Wow. It takes all the ambient readings and it correlates them into a program. It's really fascinating. Similar to kind of what the puck does with the for ambient readings that it does, but there isn't an assigned numeric value to a word in the 2000 word dictionary. So this is just getting pure readings without correlating it to anything else. It just puts it into the program so that you have a continuous timeline and timestamp of the different variations within that environment.
Yeah, I still haven't, I'm going to have to sit down with Steve a little bit more and go through it again. So, cause I got to mess with it for a few minutes, but there's a lot I want to learn about it. I'm a little leery to use it because everything I typed into it came back to me as gibberish, and I didn't understand what it was saying to me.
Well, you don't have to use it for pure the speech part of it either. You can use it to collect the 9 different pieces of data that it collects on its own and just, you know, use that to publish. It actually makes backup files of that data on a grid in a photograph, in a digital image, so that it can't be tampered with. And then
right. You
can use that data. You don't really have to use the text part of it if you don't want to. That's just, from what I understand from their website, that came about as a joke. And actually I've had a few times where the text that was coming up that I thought was gibberish came to me later as it went with evidence that I collected. So, it, coincidence, I don't know. I haven't been using it long enough myself to find that out, but I'll keep using it and see what happens.
And we found that at WISP when we were, Patrick had the puck there, and we were using it. You could ask specific questions, and there was one point where there was no denying that the answers were coming through that. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
based on anything else. Beth, you know what I'm talking about, Nandy, mm-hmm. When we asked who it wanted to talk to. And we went down the line of everyone sitting at the table, and it wasn't until we got to a specific name and it repeated that name and said yes. I was like, okay, well, I'm leaving now because this is way deeper than I feel like going right now. But yeah, we did have a lot of success with the direct interaction. It wasn't until we started firing the questions at it quickly that we got repeat answers and they were gibberish. But I think part of understanding what it's doing and how it's correlating the evidence will just come with experience as we learn that technology and we incorporate it into our research. Okay, I have no idea what the buzzing is on my end, but I have some major static.
I don't hear anything.
Okay, well, it's gone now.
Maybe it's in your head.
Is Andy still with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, it wasn't you. Usually it's you.
I know. Normally I clog everything up and break it down.
She sprung a leak.
Okay.
Well, and you know what? Again, this is egotistical, but you have three very strong psychic sensitives on the phone line, and all of that energy is just kind of congregated in one location. And we found that even talking to each other. Oh, okay, got to call you back, too much static. And it, to us, it's second nature. But when you bring other people in, they're like, technical difficulties. It's like, no, it's just the energy.
Yeah.
Just the energy.
So you guys are not allowed to all stand in my office at the same time.
What, you guys have
are you scared we'll fry something?
Maybe.
You all have heard on our investigations when Beth and Nancy are setting up the equipment, I'm not allowed to be in the room when they turn it on.
She's not allowed to even be near it, period.
Because it goes haywire. I go to use my camera, and it has brand new batteries in it. I've taken maybe one picture, and this camera will not work, but I can walk outside of an investigation, and it will work, you know. Weird stuff like that happens to me all the time. I can't wear a watch.
Not like it would do it any good anyway.
I hear voices in my head. And
so does Sean for a completely different
nice.
Reason.
Yeah. And I'm trying
I do
to
have
be
a
nice.
Question. I have a question for all three of you.
Okay.
I mean, you said round table, so I'm going to open my mouth and say what I want to.
Uh-oh.
Go kill Sean.
None of that. It's actually about a dream that I've had twice now, and I just figure maybe
whoa,
you guys can not that one, Eric.
I didn't know it was that kind of show.
Oh, don't
it's
get
with
started.
Me all over again.
I actually just want to know if it has any significance or if it's it was just me being me. I don't know. And I'm gonna just I'll break it down real short and quick for you. It just I'm in a room. I mean, first I'm in my bedroom, then all of a sudden I'm in a different room. It's dark in the room, but I can see a little bit of light, kind of like an old TV room, I guess, for like back in the 50s.
Right.
Some kind of dingy. The light bulbs aren't as bright, and it's kind of dark. But I do have a lamp in there, and then there is a man sitting in a reclining chair. He's got overalls on and boots, like work boots. He's kind of dirty. He's got kind of a scruffier beard, but not disgusting or anything. I mean, the guy doesn't look like a bum. And all I hear is hello, is this thing working? Is this working? Hello. And I finally answered back. I was like, I can hear you. Who are you? And he tells me his name is James. And
okay.
Now when I get done with the James part, he starts telling me he's been trying to get in touch with me for months. And then I start to ask him what he needs, and all these other people start showing up. There's like old people and young people and dogs, and like everybody starts talking all in time, and it's so overwhelming that I cover my ears and I'm screaming for them to stop, and then I wake up.
Welcome to my world.
Okay. I get goosebumps.
This is what happens, Sean. Oftentimes we will confuse dreams with visions. Dreams will be jump back and forth. The patterns of a normal dream are normally not consistent in a storyline, you know, where from start to finish it's the same thing. In a vision, it will be very precise. I will lay money, and you didn't tell me this, that this dream was so vivid, it was so real, it was so, it was right in your face, bright colors, and it felt as if you were standing in that room with them. So what, yeah. we're going to look at the vision, because this was not a dream, this is a vision. The old guy, and he said his name was Gary?
James.
James is, and I'm pretty positive about this, as one of your guides.
Yep.
Now, look at the semblance. Oftentimes, we won't accept a vision when they come as reality. So they have to use symbolism at times, especially when we first open to spirit, to allow them to get the message across to us. Now, you're a paranormal investigator. Number one, we all believe in the white noise theory. We all believe in the higher frequency. That TV room represents that higher frequency. They were showing this. They are communicating to you through this higher frequency. So he's showing himself. Well, the minute you acknowledged him, the minute you opened and said, yeah, I see you, what can I do to help you, you open the door for others to come also, because they know now that you can see, you can interact with them, you can talk with them, and somewhere along the line you're going to have to develop the tools to work with them, because they will come. You can set boundaries. You can say, no, 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 no. You know, you can only come between this time and this time, you know, depending on what you want to do. I'm open all the time. They can come and go as they please. If I don't have time to mess with them, my tongue, you know, just step back. But you've opened to your spiritual self, to the higher self, to the collective consciousness, and now the next step is, because they're just letting you know, we see you, you're interacting with us, and that validation has been given now. So what's the next step for you? It should not be, what is the dream about? It should be, and you know this as well as I do, it's just right there in the back of your mind. Oh, I know what this is, but what do I do about it? Mm-hmm. You have to decide where you're going to go from here. What do you want to do with this gift? Do you want to progress in understanding? Do you want to be able to help spirit? You know, we only stay open if there is a desire to help spirit move on, or help by giving a message. You evidently are open to this and want to go in that direction, or you would not have had the validation through the vision you had.
Okay. Yeah, it was definitely very, very clear. If I were just sitting here talking to you, it was very clear. And like my normal dreams where I forget the majority of it, I remember everything about this. I was asking, and it's a second time it wasn't exactly the same dream, but it was, I don't know, further on it. But they definitely weren't listening to my boundaries of shut up, I can't stand it.
No, they were excited.
It was hurting my head. I woke up with it, and Dottie can clarify, I had a pretty good migraine for 2 days. It was horrible.
I want to encourage you, and I do this, and both of my girls do this. We do not begin a day or end a day that we do not in some way ground. You have to find those white light exercises that continue to hold you in balance that you can draw on at any point in time. You can do it with prayer. You can do it with visualization. But you have to be grounded so that, I'm telling you from experience, it is the most exhausting existence that you can have. You're always tired because they like to disrupt sleep. Well, we know when we're closest to sleep, not quite awake, not quite asleep, our conscious mind is shutting down, our subconscious is taking over, and they just have a field day with that. Yeah. So you
I'm definitely
really
tired all the time.
You have to find a way to balance it. If I don't want them to come at night, and I plan on sleeping, it's like, look, I'm going to bed. Nobody's allowed. Talk to my guys and say, close the gates. Because I had to do that. It got to a point where even though I accepted what was going on, I seriously thought, girl, you're going nuts. You need medications.
Oh, that feeling. For those of you people out there wondering, I'm really not insane. I've been told for the last couple of days I'm not insane. Or at least not when it comes to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. I seriously had to find the boundary. So, and that's where you're at right now. You're open. What's your next step in the journey? What do you want to do with this gift? Where do you want to take it? It's much like farming a paranormal team. What is your mission for that team? You have to internalize that. What is my mission with my gifts now? And, again, it comes down to education. Read everything that you can. Take those parts from everything that you read that have meaning to you and that makes sense to you and can help you grow and understand the gift. Just like in the field of paranormal research, there are no experts. I can tell you what I believe. Sylvia Brown can tell you what she believes. You are only going to take those parts from both of us that fit your life and where you are in your progression, in your gifts. And you'll use that to become stronger than she or I or any other psychic gifts.
Yeah, everybody needs a calling and gift. I don't know that at the end of it, but right, that's more than disruption.
Okay, honey. Did the rest of you get that? Because he's
breaking in and out real bad.
I'm the one that's breaking up. I'll be back in a minute.
I'm here.
Okay, did anybody hear me at all?
Wow, it's really bad.
I'll call in on the other phone.
Oh, Steve said he's the one that's breaking up.
Okay, well, somebody's breaking up. Oh, Steve's got a low battery. This is not a good thing. If we lose Steve, we lose the show.
Oh, come on, Steve. Come on, Steve. Keep it together,
Steve.
Keep it together. You can do it.
I don't think I've ever wanted to try so much more.
Steve, seriously, son, you and your cyber gremlins. You're at the control panel, though, so we're not going to get too concerned about it. And we
just
have
to badmouth him while he's at the control panel either. If we do, then he just cuts it off and says, oh, I don't know what happened.
Okay,
what?
Well, I get you. Huh? Your what hurts? Hello, can you hear me now?
Get all tell.
He has
if it's
all
a Verizon
technology
phone, turn around and ask the network.
He has all this technology and no battery.
if you think about that whole Verizon network thing, when all those people with that guy, the Verizon guy, and the behind the one person, all those other people, are they out of service?
Oh, well, that was like Blog Talk and everything else that we use. We've got this whole network behind us. Guys, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Steve. We're going to go on and close it off for the night because I can barely hear anyone, period. Everyone is breaking up.
Yeah, I think the only person I can hear decently clear is you, Jackie.
That's because I'm the most...
I can hear Eric real well.
I'm the most electrifying. So why don't we do that? Why don't we go on and close off the night? Sean and Eric, bless your hearts. Thank you so much. You're always such a blessing to me. You're right there when I need you to be. And
anytime, Jackie.
You continue to show me friendship and love, and my life is just blessed because you're a part of it. Listeners and fans, before we hang up, I'm going to have the boys give you their contact information. So whichever one wants to do it, jump right in.
All right, well,
you can get the app and I'll get there.
Want to say that again? Whoa!
I guess we're done with the show, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.